Let's continue in our talks from Nehemiah by reading Nehemiah 6, verses 10 through 14. Here we see a further attempt by the enemy to deceive and discredit Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 10. Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehetabel, who was confined at home, and he said, "Let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you." And I said, "Should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in." Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have occasion for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to their works, and the prophetess Nodiah, and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid. Background notes. The wall around the ancient city of Jerusalem was important for security. A city without a wall in that day, of course, could not defend itself. It was not strong, but weak. Ever since the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar had conquered Judah in 586 BC, Jerusalem was weak and defenseless because it had no wall. But God raised up Nehemiah to rebuild these ancient walls of Jerusalem. The Lord wanted Jerusalem, the holy city, the city of his temple, to be a strong city. Nehemiah was a great and godly leader, and he was able to rally the people together to build this wall. But rebuilding the wall was not easy. There was plenty of opposition. The work of the Lord is never easy. It's labor, and there will always be opposition from the enemy. We've seen in our studies of Nehemiah all kinds of opposition to the building of the wall. All of these forms of opposition illustrate for us forms of opposition that our enemy, Satan, will use against us. We've seen scorn and ridicule, threat, conspiracy, internal strife. And here in chapter 6, we see the enemy's attack directed at Nehemiah himself, personal attack. There was the matter of trying to get Nehemiah to compromise and make peace with the enemy. Then we saw there was slander, the enemy lying about Nehemiah's real motives. And now here in these verses, verses 10 through 14, we see there's a most subtle attack. It is attempted deception at the level of spiritual discernment. Sanballat and Tobiah, they're the enemies, remember, they hire a man named Shemaiah. They hire him to become a secret informer. Now, Shemaiah probably thought peace with the enemy was the best way to go. Peace at any cost. So that's why he was vulnerable here and able to be hired by Sanballat and Tobiah. From what we read here, Shemaiah was somehow tied in with the priests and or the school of the prophets in those days. And he must have known Nehemiah, been known by Nehemiah. In any case, he calls Nehemiah to come visit him. Now, whether this concerned a personal matter or diplomatic matter or even a legal matter, remember Nehemiah is the governor, we don't know for sure. But Shemaiah claimed he was confined for some reason at home, and he wanted Nehemiah to come and talk to him. Now, Shemaiah informs Nehemiah that there's a threat on his life, a threat on Nehemiah's life, and Nehemiah should go and protect himself. Probably something like this: "Nehemiah, you're crazy to be up there working on the wall. You're a sitting duck. Somebody can take a pot shot at you. Then what's going to happen to the work? What you really should do, Nehemiah, is you need to be protected. If you're going to direct this operation, you know, you've got to protect yourself. Why don't we go into the temple, into the holy place of the temple? There, certainly that's a well-protected place, and you can direct operations from in there and keep the work going. Don't go back to the wall and be a sitting duck up there on that wall." Probably something along that line. But as you see here, he's trying to persuade Nehemiah to go to the house of God, to the temple, and go in there, close the doors, and be protected. Now, all of this sounds kind of reasonable, doesn't it? But Nehemiah, we read here, perceived, verse 12, he perceived that Shemaiah was really a false prophet, that he had been hired by the enemy, that this was a trick of the enemy. How was Nehemiah able to perceive that? Well, that really brings us to our first doctrinal point. So our first doctrinal or teaching point from this passage is this. A thorough working knowledge of God's word is necessary in spiritual warfare. A thorough working knowledge of God's word is necessary in spiritual warfare. The reason that Nehemiah was able to perceive that this was a false prophet, that he had been hired by the enemy, was because the word of God says that only priests can go into the temple. Nehemiah was not a priest. Nehemiah knew that. It was part of his everyday way of life. He had a working knowledge of the scripture. That's what we mean here by working knowledge. It was part of his everyday way of life. In Numbers chapter 18, verse 7, very definitely the scripture points out there that only the priests were allowed into the temple, and of course only the high priest into the Holy of Holies. So Nehemiah knew, was able to perceive, because of his knowledge of the word, that this was a false prophet, that the enemy had hired Shemaiah. If Nehemiah had not known the word thoroughly, he could have been taken in. He could have been deceived. Satan is a master deceiver. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says he can even come as an angel of light. Satan knows the word very well and will try to trip you up at the level of spiritual discernment if you don't know the word thoroughly. We must know the Bible thoroughly so that we're not deceived. And this is particularly important at the level of spiritual discernment. You know, some years ago, our family moved because of a job change. And we were looking for the right house to buy, and we're praying for the Lord's direction in this. And we found what we thought was just the right house. Everything looked just right. The price, a brand new addition had been put on the house, large finished basement for use in youth ministry and fellowship purposes, good school district for the family, for the kids and everything. There was only one problem. Because of the new addition, the taxes, which were already, we felt, too high, were actually going to go further up based on the selling price of the house. So we told the real estate agent this, and the next day the agent called and said, "Hey, I've got everything fixed for you. You know, because you have a reasonable down payment, the owner has agreed to sell the house on paper for this amount, much lower. That's the amount your taxes will be based on. Meanwhile, you will actually give the owner the rest of the money under the table. But as far as the base of your tax, it'll be based on the selling price that's on the paper." Wow, answer to prayer, right? No way. There was a trick at the level of spiritual discernment. I happened to be reading in James 3 at that time. And in James 3, verse 17, we read, "The wisdom of God that we can have, and the Lord will give us as we ask for it. The wisdom of God is first of all pure." So there was no way this was an answer to prayer. This was a trick of the enemy. We ended up renting. And believe it or not, soon after that event, the Lord opened the doors for us to move into the Lord's work full time. And we were free then to move. Suppose we had been deceived. You know, we all need to have a thorough working knowledge of God's word. It's so necessary for spiritual warfare. You can be deceived, particularly at the level of spiritual discernment, if you don't have a working knowledge of God's word. That's what Nehemiah had. We need to have the same. Second doctrinal point. The world will find fault with a disobedient Christian. The world will find fault with a disobedient Christian. Look at verse 12. "Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired." Here's the key. Now in verse 13, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin so that they might have occasion for an evil report, that they might reproach me. They wanted to trap Nehemiah into disobeying the word so that they might discredit him and smear his reputation, destroy his credibility. No longer then would he be a godly leader. You see, the world has a different standard for the Christian. Unbelievers excuse themselves for lying, for cheating, for having affairs, all kinds of sin. But just let them find a Christian that departs from the commands of Scripture, and they'll find fault. It shows, by the way, they have a guilty conscience about their own sin. The world will find fault with a disobedient Christian. That's why, just like Nehemiah, it's so critical that we be very careful to obey God's word in every detail. Practical application. Watch out for the Lord told me so friends. Watch out for the Lord told me so friends. Nehemiah was told by Shemaiah, hey, I'm your friend, you know. The Lord's told me that there's a threat on your life and that you should go into the temple to protect yourself. Did you ever have anybody say that to you? The Lord told me that you should change your job or sell your house. Watch out. Occasionally, I'll have a nice-looking female student tell me that some male student has approached her and said, the Lord told me that you're to marry me. Well, I always tell these young women, tell that guy to get lost until the Lord confirms his will in a more reliable way. Why is it the Lord only communicates to these guys about good-looking female students anyway? Well, watch out for the Lord told me type of friends. You know, even your true friends, Christian friends, can be deceived on occasion and play into the hands of the enemy in this matter. Watch out for the Lord told me type of friends. You got to be careful there. Second practical application. Watch out for the enemy in the most unlikely places. Watch out for the enemy in the most unlikely places. Notice verse 14. We read there that the prophetess Nodiah and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid. So it looks like not just Shemaiah has been taken in, but all of these prophets have somehow gotten into this matter of, well, Nehemiah, maybe you really should go to this peace conference. Now, these prophets recognize now that they're not enemy prophets infiltrating from Samaria. They were most likely prophets in Judah from the schools of the prophets of that day. And they were not against God or out to let the enemy take over. They were deceived. They really thought the peace process, that's the way to go now, you know, make peace with the enemy. But notice particularly now that the deception is coming right out of the seminaries of the day, the most unlikely place. Is that possible today? Well, it sure is. Where do you think the concept of an errant Bible is being promoted today? Many of the seminaries are pushing that the Bible has mistakes, the Bible had errors. Can you believe it? Watch out for the enemy in the most unlikely places.